Okay, everybody, welcome on back here to Simple Faith Baptist Church, where the Bible changes us. We do not change the Bible. My name is Brother Carlos, and let me do this quick thing. I need to turn down the gain because we have a little bit of feedback going on here. And you don't got to do that. I got it over here. There we go. All right, amen, guys. So for those of you who are tuning in online, we want to thank God for those of you coming out here today. We're going to go ahead and start out with some hymns, Sing Is and Unto the Lord. So feel free to do me a favor and turn in your hymnals to song 343, 343, Softly and Tenderly, amen. Let's go ahead and sing together, 343, Softly and Tenderly. Oh, so what was the first one? 682, I apologize. 682, first song, 682, which is going to be here on the song is Little As Much When God Is In It. Amen? Little As Much When God Is In It. So I'm going to do my best with my guitar today because I smashed my finger. So keep me in prayer. Please don't anoint it with oil because that'll hurt me bad. All right, just go to, yes, Lord, we pray. All right, do you got to do. All right. On the one, little as much when God is in it. So we sing each stanza verse. One goes down the same order as you guys can see. The first and one, second one, we sing the chorus. Then we come back, number two, and so on and so forth, going downwards. Amen? All right, little as much when God is in it. On the one. In the harvest field now ripen, there's a work for all to do. Hark, the voice of God is calling to the harvest, calling you. Little is much when God is in it. Labor not for wealth or fame. There's a crown and you can win it if you'll go in Jesus' name. Amen. On the two. Does the place you're called to labor seems so small and little known? It is great if God is in it, and he'll not forget his own. Little is much when God is in it. Labor not for wealth or fame. There's a crown, and you can win it if you'll go in Jesus' name. Amen. Keep on singing. Sorry about that. Can you get out of that? My phone started going crazy. Sorry, guys. On the third. Are you laid aside from service, body worn from toil and care? You can still be in the battle, in the secret place of prayer. Little is much when God is in it. Labor not for wealth and fame. There's a crown and you can win it if you'll go in Jesus' name. Amen. On the last. When the conflict here is ended and our race on earth is won, he will say, if we are faithful, welcome home, my child, well done. Little is much when God is in it. Labor not for wealth and fame. There's a crown and you can win it if you'll go in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, amen. We made it through. Amen. Let's go ahead and sing the next song here on song 95 in the hymn. 95 in the hymn. We want to thank God for those of you singing along. That was a good song. Little as much when God is in it. So don't look to the church size and look to the to what you're doing or not doing. But if the Lord is in your heart and if you're in it for him, it's a big deal. Amen. Things can change. So don't be discouraged. All right, song 95, Great is Thy Faithfulness. Amen.
Amen.
All right, on the one.
Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not, thy compassions, they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever wilt be. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me.
Good singing.
Summer and winter and springtime and harvest, sun, moon, and stars in their courses above, join with all nature in manifold witness to thy great faithfulness, mercy, and love. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me.
Good singing.
Pardon for sin and a peace that endureth. Thine own dear presence to cheer and to guide. Strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow. Blessings all mine with 10,000 besides.
Sing it out, church.
Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me.
Amen. All right, good singing, church. And for the last hymn here, before we get started with some announcements, we're going to go to Song 343, Song 343 in your brown hymn. Keep singing out today, friends, softly and tenderly. We're going to do our best to sing together here this afternoon, our last hymn for the afternoon before we get started with some announcements. Softly and tenderly. Okay, we're going to actually a cappella this because the guitar is a little unique for this. And I never knew how thankful I was for the, what is this finger? The index finger? The first finger? I don't know. This real important. It. All right, so we're going to try our best together on tempo.
Softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling for you and for me. See on the portals, he's waiting and watching, watching for you and for me. Come home, come home. Ye who are weary, come home. Earnestly, tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling, O sinner, come home.
Let's go to another third.
Time is now fleeting, the moments are passing, passing from you and from me. Shadows are gathering, death warnings coming, coming for you and for me. Come home, come home. Ye who are weary, come home. earnestly, tenderly, Jesus is calling. Calling, O sinner, come home. Amen. Good singing, nonetheless. Oh, for the wonderful love he has promised. Promise for you and for me. Though we have sinned, he has mercy and pardon. Pardon for you and for me. Amen. Good singing. Here we go. Come home. Come home. Ye who are weary, come home. Earnestly, tenderly, Jesus is calling. Calling, O sinner, come home. Amen. That was not bad. Praise the Lord for a little a cappella. All right, friends, we're going to stand and greet one another. Feel free to fist bump, elbow, whatever your conscience says is cool for you. No worries. And then we're going to get some announcements. And for those of you who are visiting us for the first time, if you need to use the bathroom, what you do is you walk through the sanctuary door. On your left-hand side, we have a hallway. And on that hallway over there is our restroom facilities. So feel free to make your way over there at any time that you need to use the bathroom. Amen. Bathroom.
All right, praise God, praise God. Praise God for the fellowship. It's good. All right, as we continue to fellowship, I'm going to go ahead and give a quick announcement, mainly for the online viewers and those who are new to our page. So if you look up to the screen here, the first tab I'm going to go over is the calendar tab. Just like any calendar tab, it just tells you our current, future, and former events here at Simple Faith Baptist Church. The key highlights I'm going to point out is that on our Wednesdays, we have Wednesday Bible study at 7, and we just do a Bible study. But every first Wednesday, we're going to have a time for prayer and worship. So if you want to come join us for prayer and worship, the first Wednesday of every month, we're going to set aside time to do that as a church on that Wednesday, okay? The other highlight I want to point out is the Lord's Supper, all right? Now, if I'm looking at my calendar correctly, we're supposed to have the Lord's Supper today, but what we're going to do is move it to next Sunday, all right? But for regular service times and regular months, if they go as scheduled, we're going to have the Lord's Supper on the last Sunday of each month. So first Wednesday of the month, prayer, last Sunday of the month, we're going to do the Lord's Supper in remembrance of Christ, his death, burial, and resurrection, all right? So that's it for our calendar tab. Stay tuned for that. Continue to check that out. So you can come join us, all right? About us, we're simple, just Christians who love the Lord Jesus Christ. We believe his word inspired and preserved and perfect, and we thank God for it, all right? Pretty simple. Church team here, you just have myself. This is just two of many members here, but you can feel free to reach out to us. Myself, Brother Kwame right here, and Brother Carlos, who will be pastoring today. And I just want to say, please reach out. If you have a need that needs to be met, please reach out. My number's on there. Carlos's email is on there, and my email as well. Please reach out if there's a need that we can meet. Amen. All right, for the prayer tab here is very important because this is very important to God. All right, pray. God says pray without ceasing. Pray, pray, pray. We should be praying for one another. My wife and I set aside time to pray for some specifics. We might put it on the page here, but that's what this is for. So this page here, what you see here on the right-hand side of your screen here, this is where you can submit a prayer request. The intent is just so that we can know what's going on in your life or somebody's life who needs prayer, or we can come together and pray for you or whoever that individual may be. Also for praise reports as well, you can put on there so we can just glorify God with you of what God has done in your life. So please utilize this here. The most recent one we kind of talked about already was from Kim Rankin, and we did pray for Kim Rankin, and we're going to continue to do that. Amen. All right, moving right along to the right. All right, I kind of briefly went over our current and future ministries, but the specific one I want to talk about right here from this page is the Soul Winning Saturdays. It's the time that we, as a church, go out into the Oceanside area where we're preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ into the world because they need him. We all do. And we want to continue to do that. That is our calling as a Christian. All right, no respect of persons. We're all Christians should be preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. The way we do that here, we use gospel tracts. We use these here flyers here for the car so they can see the scriptures. But the intent is to preach Christ so people can come to Jesus Christ and escape the wrath of God because of their sin. Very important. So please join us on Saturdays. We meet here at 2. We gather a little cup of coffee, some water, get a good prayer in, some fellowship, and we go out into the world and preach the gospel. So please feel free to contact us so you can join us on that. All right, more specific details I want to show you here on our homepage. So every Sunday we have Sunday school. Awesome study. I learned a lot today, but we're studying this book called Fascinating Truths by Brother James Knox, where he points out a lot of truths that we may have skipped over, not really realize how important and how significant certain truths are, and have an answer for people who like to scoff and question at God's word. A very solid study. We're going to finish that up, I'm pretty sure, next Sunday, and we're going to hop right into Signs, Wonders, and Miracles right here. This book will teach us how to write, kind of like how to write about the Word of God, what applies to us, what doesn't, what's biblical, what's not, what's applicable, what's not. It's a real solid study we're going to learn about. But that's Sunday school. It's a 30-minute class. Starts at 1 p.m. We take a 15-minute break. We get into praise and worship, and then we get into the Word of God. Amen. And as you can see right here on the right-hand side of the screen. All right, I already briefed over Wednesdays. Again, it's just a Bible study. First Wednesday, prayer. And then highlight right here is our Fridays. Friday nights is very unique because it's a time set apart where we learn how to rightly divide the Word of God. Because the Word of God can be wrongly divided. We want to learn how to rightly divide it. And we use some material here. I believe it's underneath here. Two books here we're going to continue to go over. Is one book, Rightly Divided, by Brother Andrew Ray. And then you have our Brother James Knox on there too. And then you also have this book here called Understanding the Scriptures. And that's every Friday. So if you want to learn how to rightly divide the Word of God, because you don't want confusion, you have to rightly divide it like God says, please join us on Fridays. And that Friday, 6:30 time, we kind of pushed it to the right because of my schedule. So at 7 p.m. But if you show up at 6:30, Brother Carlos should be here. Feel free to fellowship, get some coffee, whatever you might want to do. All right. Moving right along so we get into this word, let's go ahead and go to our live stream links here. Just real quick, Facebook Live, YouTube Live, and podcast. So feel free to click that link there. Bible study tab here, very important because we're not the only ones preaching the Word of God, right divided. These brothers, we have a lot of these guys we physically met, we fellowship with, and we also listen to their studies, we read their books, and they're solid. So please utilize this tab here to add to your faith knowledge. God wants you to have a knowledge of him. Amen. All right, and then last thing here is online giving. This is between you and the Lord Jesus Christ himself. He knows the hearts. It's between you and him. We just make it available. If you would like to give here at Simple Faith Baptist, you can go ahead and just fill out that. It's very simple. You just follow the instructions, and it's through PayPal. So with that being said, I'm going to welcome up Brother Carlos and get ready for the Word of God, church.
Amen. Let's go ahead and give the Lord a hand of praise for Brother Q. All right, praise God. Well, first of all, I want to thank God for all of you who made it out here today physically. And for those of you who are watching online, we have a first-time visitor, and we have a long-awaited brother who's come back to hang out and fellowship. It truly is a blessing to see everybody here today, and it's cool to see all you guys here today. As you guys know, we love Jesus Christ. We love the Bible. We teach the Bible verse by verse here at our church, and we are currently in the book of Romans, chapter number 11. So as you can imagine, we've already covered up from chapters 1 through 10. So feel free to get a Bible near you and turn there with me to Romans chapter 11, or you can look up at a projector. But I'm going to provoke you to study and to turn in a physical Bible with me, because this is going to help you with your muscle memory on where Scripture is. Amen. And so as we make our way there, yesterday, again, praise the Lord, we had a small break, if you will, from our fellowship. Those of us here that are normally come consistently,
We announced last Wednesday when we had our church potluck dinner together that we were going to cancel the Friday night discipleship class so you guys can enjoy time with your family. But after all that eating and after all that fellowship, it was time to work it out. So we got here at 2 o'clock. We got some coffee, went downtown and preached Jesus Christ. It was a blessing. We ministered to a lot of folks, and that's where some of us came from today, because people were telling you about the Lord or you were encouraged by Christians trying to do something for the Lord in Oceanside. And it was pretty cool. We talked to a lot of folks. Some scoffers. We got an Ooga for Jesus. How many of you guys remember the Ooga? The car was driving by, and so that was kind of cool. And then another church that every once and so often they go out there, they finally are kind of clicking with us. That was kind of nice to see some camaraderie. They may want to do some witnessing together because we go out there every Saturday. At least we try to. And so there are churches that go out every other 2 months or once a month, but we want to win the city for Jesus. And so it's going to happen with consistency. We just got to be committed. Amen. You don't have to be a pastor to do anything for Jesus. As soon as you became a Christian, you were already enlisted to do something for him. You just got to do it. Amen. The Holy Spirit will help you through the rest of the way for your gifts and so on and so forth. And so with that said, guys, as you make your way to Romans chapter 11, if you haven't already read our online, or for those of you who are not familiar, we like to use the King James Bible for our teaching. So if you want to follow along with us there, that's what we're going to be using. And right now we are in Romans chapter 11, and we're talking about the nation of Israel. And so just as a quick refresher, for some of you who haven't been to church in a while, or for those of you who may not necessarily know how to properly study it or are desirous to be discipled in that area, let me give you guys a quick summary as to some of this book and some of this truth that we're dealing with here. About this much of your Bible has nothing to do with you at all. That's a lot. This all has to do with one people group, the nation of Israel, because of one man by the name of Abraham. And then, if you will, the church, we get just a little slither in here, just a hair bit, that has to do with you. But at some point when the church is out of the scene of the public view and the Lord's done saving souls by grace through faith and the gospel and trusting Jesus, being born again, then all of a sudden we go to heaven with the Lord. That's all Bible doctrines for the Christian. And then we have the rest of Revelation dealing with the nation of Israel and their future eternal glory and so on and so forth. And so it's very important for us to study this Bible, because not all the churches believe it just as it is. Some churches have church traditions on how they interpret doctrines, but because we believe the Bible, we let it change us. We don't change the Bible. When we are talking about the nation of Israel through the New Testament epistles, the whole argument is this: is God done with the nation of Israel? Is he done using them? Is he done blessing them? Is he done with any promises that he gave Abraham, Isaac, or Jacob? And the answer is no, he's not. And so that's the argument that we're going to see from Paul the Apostle that is very important for you as a Christian to understand and to believe, because that also aids in how he deals with us. So if he made one promise to one man, Abraham, and he can't go back on his promise, we can apply that to Jesus. Anybody who comes to him and believes in him, he's not going to stop working out salvation for us or anything like that. He's going to see it to the end. That's kind of a similarity we can see between the church and Israel, is that when he gave us a promise, he's going to fulfill it, regardless of your faithfulness or your faithlessness. The only difference between the nation of Israel and the Christian is how he deals with us. One is going to be dealt with physically. That is, if you're disobedient to the law, you're going to have some diseases or sicknesses. You can read about that in the Old Testament. If you're disobedient to God's law as a Jew living in Israel, then he'll allow the Gentiles to come over there and, you know, tear you up like the Philistines and so on. Thirdly, he's just not going to bless you physically, your food and all that. The Christian, some of us here today, many of us have not been faithful to Jesus. We pretty much here and there live for ourselves. We kind of come back. But notice, you're still alive. You're not necessarily being overwhelmed by a Gentile nation to take you out of your house, because he doesn't deal with us like he deals with the Jew. That's what we're talking about, properly studying, rightly dividing the Word of God. So in Romans chapter 11, Let's go to verse 23. We'll read through the verses. This is going to be our part two of where we left off last Sunday. So I encourage you, if you want to catch up, for those of you who want to follow with where we're at, on the Facebook church page or the YouTube church page, you can listen to our past teachings, okay? But let's go back here to verse 23. The Bible says here, verse 23, "And they also, if they abide not still in unbelief, shall be grafted in, for God is able to graft them in again." What Paul the Apostle is talking about here is the nation of Israel likened to an olive tree. And the Gentiles, those of us who are not Jews by birth or by nature, we were wild olive trees, wild branches. So the idea that the Lord is painting for us here in this particular portion is you have this tree that God planted here, and that's the nation of Israel. But some of them, as the branches, were cut off for their what? Unbelief. You see that in verse 23? "If these Jews remain not in unbelief," you see that? Abide not still. What is the opposite of not believing? Believing. If they put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ, the gospel, God is able to graft them in to this tree that he paints for us. "For if thou wert cut out of the olive tree, which is wild by nature," now who is he talking about here in verse 24? If thou, he's talking about the Gentile. Those of us who are not Jews by physical birth. In your Bible, you're going to see that word Gentiles. That just simply has to do with any human on this earth that is not a Jew by nature. That is all the sons of Adam. Doesn't matter, Mexicans, Europeans, Africans, wherever. We're just saying anybody that's not a Jew by nature, you know what the God of the Bible acknowledges as Gentiles. So what he's reminding us here today, in verse number 24, "If thou were cut out of the olive tree which is wild by nature, and were grafted contrary to nature into a good olive tree, how much more shall these, which be the natural branches, be grafted into their own olive tree?" So you have two trees. One, the natural tree. One, the wild tree. You and I were the wild tree. We weren't the natural. All these blessings that have to do with Israel, it's because those were his people, his called out people. Those of us that are Gentiles, we were not like Israel. We were not given special promises and special laws. We were just out there living our life on whatever part of the planet we lived in our descendants, our ancestors, and so on and so forth. But when you heard the gospel, praise the Lord, you were brought into this family of God, the God of Israel. So now verse 25, "I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in." Now notice there. The Holy Spirit does not want Christians who were Gentiles to be ignorant of this mystery. And here's how he defines this. That blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. So not all Israel is blinded, but in part until what? The last Gentile comes in, and we talked about that last Sunday, into the body of Christ. So whoever that is, only God knows, the last Gentile that is to be a part of Jesus' church, then he's going to return back to his dealings with the nation of Israel. But until then, nationally as a whole, they are blinded and they're cut off. We'll talk about that. Verse 26, "And so all Israel shall be saved." We believe that. That's why we're saying God is not done with Israel, because he promised to save them at some point. "As it is written, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. For this is my covenant unto them, when I shall take away their sins." Praise the Lord. Let's go ahead and pray. So Father, we thank you for allowing us to gather once again in the name of Jesus. I pray today for every person that's here, Lord, that you bless them with the knowledge of the Word of God. Help us to have a spirit of concentration today and focus. And Lord, no matter how people came in, Lord, help them to leave that much more understanding of your word, understanding of your power, so that, Lord, it'll motivate them to live for you now, Lord, and preach Jesus Christ. And that's my prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Brother Q, can you close that door for me, please? All right. So what were we talking about last Sunday? We were talking about the dealings with God and Israel in these last days we talk about here. And so all Israel shall be saved. Yeah, if you don't mind closing that door, Nick, I appreciate that, man. Thanks. Yep. I don't know. He went somewhere else. And we were talking about the judgments that God is going to bring upon the nation of Israel in these last days until he returns the second time to this earth. We call that time frame the time of the great tribulation. Now, I'm not sure where a lot of you are at understanding Bible teachings or Bible doctrines, but let me just sum it up for you. Right now, we're living in the last days, the Bible says. And the reason we say the last days is because ever since Jesus Christ resurrected and ascended back to heaven, we've been in the last days. At any point, God could, you know, finish all these great prophecies and revelations that he's given in the Old Testament record. So since that time, we're anticipating his coming. And so you can read about that in the book of Acts and the apostles' letters by saying, the Lord is at hand, the Lord is nigh, like he could return. But so far, we've been here for over 2,000 years. Praise the Lord. So what does that tell us? That Jesus is not done building his church. So the argument here is, well, right now there's been a pause in God's dealings with Israel because he's dealing with the church. And he's saving Gentiles predominantly, but Jews can still be saved, of course. But right now the main focus is to build up his church. So this is the until the fullness of the times of the Gentiles come in right here in verse number 25. And we talked about that last Sunday, how that's different from the times of the Gentiles from our study of last Sunday. So until then, how is he going to deal with the Jew, and how is he going to preserve them? How is he going to save them, as he says in verse 26? Well, he's going to save them, but during their salvation process, verse 27, there still remains for him to take away their sins. Do you see that? And ungodliness from Jacob. So notice the difference. That's why we're saying rightly dividing. The Jews, as a nation, still have sins before God according to how he views them. And as his people, they're not going to be fully cleansed until he does that, until he takes away their sins. But then you ask yourself, well, I'm a Christian. Don't we all believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross and all of our sins were placed on him? Yes. That's dealing with the world. And anybody who puts their faith and trust in him, we can be saved. Like, he can forgive us all our sins. That's the good news. But that's why we're understanding he's dealing with the people of Israel as a whole. So what does that tell you? That not all their sins are yet taken away as a people. Individually, Christ died for all our sins. But nationally, as his people, the Lord says they still got some ungodliness, but he's going to deal with that. Now, this is where we left off. Let's go to Jeremiah chapter 30. And for those of you who know our church, we get on this Bible train and we go from stop to stop. The first stop here is Jeremiah chapter 30. And it's good that you came to a church like ours today, because you're going to see that we read a lot of Bible, because that's the truth. That's God's word. You're not going to hear me talking about a dream or fantasies or, man, let me just tell you a good emotional story. No, we're going to give you the word of God. That's the best story. Amen. This Bible can change your life. And so now, where we left off from last Sunday is we're talking about the judgment of Israel, the judgment of the remnant, and how God is going to preserve his people, and how God is going to glorify himself in her midst. But in that process of glorifying himself, he is going to purify the Jews. In other words, he's going to judge the unbelieving, the unfaithful, and he's going to preserve the faithful and the believing from the other. And that's going to happen during that great time of tribulation. God is going to draw back every Jew from wherever he's scattered them throughout the earth as a result of their disobedience to the law. We talked about that in depth last Sunday. You can read Psalm 107, verses 1 through 3. You can read Ezekiel chapter 20, Ezekiel chapter 36. There's plenty of scripture in the Old Testament that tells us that God's anger against the nation of Israel is their disobedience to his laws. This is what he's going to do. He's going to scatter them. Right now, the Jews are not necessarily dwelling safely in their land. They're getting attacked all the time. You guys can read the stories. But one day, God promises to bring them back and for them to dwell safely. That's going to happen. But until then, what happens before? That's what we're going to talk about. Jeremiah chapter 30, let's go to verse number 11. Verse number 11. And so we do read Old Testament as Christians because this was written for our learning. Praise the Lord. All the Bible is good for us because this is upon which the New Testament is built on. Christ is the fulfillment of a lot of Old Testament scripture. And the church has some mystery down here somewhere. The Holy Spirit brings that about and then expounds upon that. And then we have the last book of Revelation, just to kind of give you a little bit of basics for those of you who are just getting plugged back in. Jeremiah 30, verse 11, here's what he says. For I am with thee, saith the Lord, to save thee. He's talking about Israel. Though I make a full end of all nations, whither I have scattered thee, yet will I not make a full end of thee. Are you ready now? But I will correct thee in measure and will not leave thee altogether unpunished. So what do we observe from this verse? A couple things. Number one, here's the Lord. That's Almighty God, Almighty Jehovah, the great God of Israel. His desire is to save Israel. That's his heart. He's not going to make a full end of them. Notice here. However, he is going to make a full end of all nations, whether he's scattered them. So what does that tell you? From the time of the rejection of Messiah, and a little bit before that, we talk about the Jews going in the land of Babylon under Nebuchadnezzar. You guys can read the book of Daniel when you get a chance. Jeremiah, all those times when the Jews were overran by the Gentile kings that would come in there and then take them as captives. That's a result of their disobedience, and God was going to deal with them physically. Well, since the rejection of the Lord, he has scattered these Jews all over the planet. Another argument you're going to hear from those that don't believe the Bible or who have some cultic fringe, like people who don't believe, again, that God knows where every Jew is, they're going to say, well, we don't know who the Jews are. Who are the true Jews? Are they the black Hebrew Israelites that yell at your face? Are they, you know, all this and that? If God is the creator of the heavens and the earth, and he knows every star by name, that's what he says, you're telling me that he doesn't know where his people are that he scattered, all right? He knows where they're at. That's not my concern as a Christian. I'm not here to do a DNA test like the Mormons want to do to try to prove their history, to say, well, that's tribe of XYZ, tribe of this. No. We're here to preach the gospel. We're here to tell everybody, it doesn't matter who they are, whether they're Jews or not, they need to trust Christ. But God dealing with the nation of Israel, he scattered them. But notice, he will correct them. He's going to judge them. He's not going to fully terminate them as a people, but he's going to correct them. He will not leave them altogether unpunished. Keep reading with me. For thus saith the Lord, thy bruise is incurable and thy wound is grievous. There is none to plead thy cause that thou mayest be bound up. Thou hast no healing medicines. All thy lovers have forgotten thee. They seek thee not, for I have wounded thee with the wound of an enemy, with the chastisement of a cruel one, for the multitude of thine iniquity, because thy sins were increased. So remember that the Jews over time were persuaded by the nations around them. They became idolaters. They would start worshiping false gods like the Gentiles. And so the Lord said, man, there ain't nobody to help you out now because he's bringing all this upon him. He says, why criest thou for thine affliction? Thy sorrow is incurable for the multitude of thine iniquity because thy sins were increased. I have done these things unto thee. How about that? There you go. The Lord is the one that brought upon them all their judgments. And he is the same one that's going to bring it during the time of great tribulation. So again, a side trail, we're going to get to Revelation, we'll talk about the Antichrist, some of us want to know about all that New World Order stuff, I'll get there. But before you go on a rabbit trail and say, Brother Carlos, but what about the secret societies and the New World Order and the chip, and it's like, wait a second, we're talking about God bringing judgments on Israel. He's going to raise up the Antichrist to do some crazy stuff, but his main focus is Israel. If the Gentiles happen to be in the crossfires with their political agreements, that's between your nation and how they deal with that man in time. I don't know. I don't know how that's all going to play out, and I'm not going to get on a rabbit trail if it's a barcode or the vaccine. All I'm telling you is that God is the one that's going to do this. So if he's the one behind it, then you can trust him when he says, if you put your faith in my son, I will save you from the wrath to come. Praise the Lord. If I trust Jesus, I don't have to worry about all that future wrath and all those, you know, things that a lot of our brethren get kind of sidetracked with. Therefore, 16, all they that devour thee shall be devoured. So there's the judgment of the nations. Any of these Gentiles that essentially are going to be against the Jews at this time, the Lord is going to handle them. And all thine adversaries, every one of them shall go into captivity, and they that spoil thee shall be a spoil, and all that prey upon thee will I give for a prey. For I will restore health unto thee. I will heal thee of thy wounds, saith the Lord, because they called thee an outcast, saying, this is Zion, who no man seeketh after. In other words, the Gentiles are saying, man, look at, where is their God? Where is the great God of Israel that we read all these stories about? Israel, they're just like a scattered people. They have no power. They have no political power. Where is their God? The Lord said he's going to heal them. Thus saith the Lord, behold, I will bring again the captivity of Jacob's tents and have mercy on his dwelling places, and the city shall be builded upon her own heap, and the place shall remain after the manner thereof, and out of them shall proceed thanksgiving and the voice of them that make merry, and I will multiply them, and they shall not be few. I will also glorify them, and they shall not be small. Their children also shall be as aforetime, and their congregation shall be established before me, and I will punish all that oppress them. Two times now, you know what God said? Anybody who messes with my people, I'm going to take them out. And here's another side nugget trail. Again, we'll talk about all these things, and I'm just giving you in brief nuggets here. When we talk about Matthew chapter 24, the judgments of the nations, the sheep and the goats, those that saw that Jew in prison, naked, or in peril, the Lord's going to bless them. But those that were against that, how he says, when you saw me, you didn't clothe me, you didn't give me food, he's going to handle that. So don't worry, don't worry. And their nobles shall be of themselves, and their governor shall proceed from the midst of them, and I will cause him to draw near, and he shall approach unto me. For who is this that engages his heart to approach unto me, saith the Lord? And you shall be my people, and I will be your God. So what do we see here? God promised to bring Israel back into her land, to cleanse and purify them, the unbelieving from the wicked, and to preserve the remnant. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 54 in our second Bible stop here. Isaiah chapter 54 and verses 6 through 10. So for those of you who are just kind of coming back to your Christian walk and wanting to start getting plugged back into Bible and growing as a Christian, in your own personal studies about theology, you're going to hear about those types of theology. They call it Reformed theology, covenant theology, certain things like that. What you want to do is you want to line up what their system says with Scripture. And if one Scripture clearly states, God said, I will do this, and the system on this hand says, here's theology, God's done with Israel, he's cast them off, you're going to have to put your faith in God's word over the system. You're going to have to say, brothers, I love you, I disagree with your system of theology, but God said he's not done with Israel, and this is why. Verses like this, Isaiah 54, verse 6 through 10. For the Lord hath called thee as a woman forsaken and grieved in spirit, and a wife of youth when thou wast refused, saith thy God. For a small moment have I forsaken thee, but with great mercies will I gather thee. How about that? In a little wrath I hid my face from thee for a moment, but with everlasting kindness will I have mercy on thee, saith the Lord thy Redeemer. Now let me ask you a question, Christian. For those of our systematic brothers who think, you know, oh, this system of theology, I just like the way that pastor, Calvinist guy, whoever they are, but they have this teaching, Brother Carlos, but what does the Bible say? That's going to be my response to you. What does everlasting mean? You know what Jesus said? If you believe on me, you will have everlasting life forever. You know, the Lord promised the nation of Israel, I hid my face from you, I give you a little bit of my wrath, but I will give you and show you everlasting kindness. That's a long time. It's forever. God is not done with Israel. Verse number 9, for this is as the waters of Noah unto me. For as I have sworn that the waters of Noah should no more go over the earth, so have I sworn that I would not be wroth with thee nor rebuke thee. For the mountains shall depart and the hills be removed, but my kindness shall not depart from thee, neither shall the covenant of my peace be removed, saith the Lord, that have mercy on thee. So do we see from verse number 9, just like Noah, in a prototype. How many of you guys have heard of that word, prototype? If you build something before you market it, we have a prototype of the thing. What happened with Noah's Ark? What did he do? He preserved them while simultaneously judging the entire earth. You understand? The entire earth was flooded. God judged mankind because man was so bad. Their sin was so bad against God. He literally fled this earth. There's so much historical and archaeological evidence. We're talking about whale skeletons being up in high mountains. I mean, all that evidence is there. But who was preserved through the judgment? Noah and his family. So Noah is a prototype of the nation of Israel being saved through the great tribulation. The remnant, they're going to be preserved while he pours out his wrath on everybody else. Are you guys with me? They're going to be preserved from judgment simultaneously, so Israel shall be preserved from that time of the great tribulation. All right, let's go ahead and go to Zechariah chapter number 13 next in our Bible stop. Zechariah chapter 13. Some of you guys are like, man, this is some good Bible. That Bible is good. Y'all just got to keep reading that thing and get plugged into a church that believes it and actually reads it. Amen. There's a lot of churches nowadays that don't actually read anymore, and that's kind of sad. So we want to be one of these faithful ones in these last days. So again, in the back of your mind, we're refreshing ourselves. We are talking about God's Word, Old Testament Scriptures, specifically at this time in our sermon, that the Lord promises to preserve His people, but He will judge them. Like He said, He's going to correct them for their iniquity, for their sin, but they will be saved. Zechariah 13, verse number 1. Bible says here, in that day there shall be a fountain open to the house of David and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem for sin and for uncleanness. So remember that. Nationally speaking, they have sin that needs to be dealt with. Jesus, the long-awaited Messiah, was offered to them. All of their sins were placed upon Christ. You guys remember that. We know the scriptures. We know enough New Testament. Isaiah 53, upon him the Lord place our iniquities and our transgressions, etc. But the Jews refused Messiah. They wanted everything else but that righteousness of God, which is by faith in Christ. They wanted to establish their own righteousness. They wanted the temple and its glory without the God of glory. They wanted the sacrifice to be accepted without ultimately the one whom they beseeched from the heart to receive it. And so when the Lord was offered, whoever believes, they didn't think they were enslaved to sin. They said, we're not sons of fornication. Remember that in John chapter 8? They're arguing with Jesus. Why do you say we are sinners or enslaved? That's sad. So that's why Romans 11, when that deliverer comes, he's going to cleanse them from their sin, etc. Verse 2, it shall come to pass in that day, saith the Lord of hosts, that I will cut off the names of the idols out of the land, and they shall no more be remembered. And also I will cause the prophets and the unclean spirit to pass out of the land. Keep reading. It shall come to pass that when any shall yet prophesy, then his father and his mother that begat him shall say unto him, thou shalt not live, for thou speakest lies in the name of the Lord. And his father and his mother that begat him shall thrust him through when he prophesieth. It shall come to pass in that day that the prophet shall be ashamed every one of his vision, when he hath prophesied, neither shall they wear a rough garment to deceive. But he shall say, I am no prophet, I am an husbandman, for man taught me to keep cattle from my youth. One shall say unto him, what are these wounds in thine hands? Then he shall answer, those with which I was wounded in the house of my friends. By the way, this is what we call a messianic prophecy. That just simply means that these are some specific Old Testament verses that foreshadow Jesus Christ. So what do we have here? We have a judgment through Zechariah, the prophet, to the nation of Israel, teaching them, trying to forewarn them of what's going on. In that day, folks are going to be wary of prophecies and so on. But then this question, one shall say unto him, what are these wounds in thine hands? Then he shall answer, those wounds which I was wounded in the house of my friends. What happened to Jesus Christ? They put nails in his hands. He is this friend that was wounded in foreshadowing type. Now I hope we read out of that, read this verse out of a King James Bible. Because if you start going off that Message Bible and these silly, you know what they say? Where'd you get that black eye? A door hit me in my face. I mean, it is bad. Okay, it's really weird. Praise the Lord. We know the Lord was crucified. Now here it is, verse number 7. Awake, O sword, against my shepherd, and against the man that is my fellow, saith the Lord of hosts. Smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered, and I will turn mine hand upon the little ones. All the land of Israel is going to be judged. All the land of Israel is going to be judged as a result of their rejection of Messiah. This here is another foreshadowing prophecy concerning Jesus Christ. Smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered. You'll read about that in your New Testament Gospels. We're going to learn about the Lord preserving a certain amount and judging another. Are you ready? Keep reading. Verse number 8. It shall come to pass that in all the land, how many of you guys believe all? All the land of Israel, okay, saith the Lord, two parts therein shall be cut off and die. Now that's hardcore. But the third shall be left therein. Wow. So what is the Lord going to do? He is going to cleanse ungodliness, wickedness from Jacob. What is he going to do? What did we read earlier? Jerusalem for sin and for uncleanness. He's going to clean house. He's going to cut out the idols. He's going to do all this stuff, all these unclean spirits. But it's going to include two-thirds of the Jews. Now that's hardcore. Two-thirds. That's a lot. So what does that tell you? During the Great Tribulation time frame, 7 years, let's just say there's three parts, okay? Let's just say for the whole three, one, two, three, make up Israel. When God gathers these Jews back into their land, remember, out of fury, I mean, this is going to be by his anger, Ezekiel 20. That sin is going to be in the heart of so many of them Hebrews, their sin of their idolatry, their sin of their uncleanness. They're not going to be sincerely Jews in their heart, that is by faith trusting God. Two-thirds are going to be destroyed by God. Two-thirds. But a third shall be left. Now who is that third? That's the remnant. The remnant that is going to flee into the wilderness. The remnant that will have faith. And they're going to take heed to the prophets. They're going to take heed, perhaps the New Testament will be read by some of those Jews that say, man, what did Jesus say? What did he say? What did Messiah say? When you see that temple, when you see that temple rebuilt, you see that Antichrist set up the image, you better run, you better flee, and we'll get there. But those that don't take heed to the warnings of their God, those that stay in the land, two-thirds, but the third will. Verse 9, what does he say? And I will bring the third part through the fire, and will refine them as silver is refined, and will try them as gold is tried. They shall call on my name, and I will hear them. I will say, it is my people, and they shall say, the Lord is my God. How many of you guys are saved? Raise your hand. How many of you guys have trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior? You're born again, you're saved. Thank God. Thank God. You don't have to be brought through fire. You don't have to see the sifting, if you will, of, oh, Christians down the street, man, they weren't sincere. Boom, cut off. Who's sincere? Who's sincere? And then you make it through, whew, through that fire. This is God dealing with the nation of Israel specifically. And the reason that will be is because they will not take heed to the warning to flee. Those that stay in the land during this time of great tribulation will die at the hand of the Antichrist. Let's go to Malachi chapter 3. It's getting real good now. It's getting real good. Malachi chapter 3. And let's go there, and we're going to read verses 1 through 4. Bible's good, amen? Y'all learning some good stuff. Let's keep reading. Behold, Malachi 3, verse number 1. Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom ye seek shall suddenly come to his temple. Even the messenger of the covenant whom ye delight in, behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts. But who may abide the day of his coming? Now let's go back to verse 1. How many of you guys remember the name of the prophet that announced and prepared the way for Jesus Christ in the land of Israel? Who remembers his name? John the Baptist. That's why we're called Baptist Church. No, I'm just playing. That's silly. That's just funny. His name, the Holy Spirit, John Baptist. That's kind of, what did he do? He baptized. All right. You know, the Lord said before his appearing, he was going to send his messenger. That's a fulfillment of Malachi 3 right here and Isaiah chapter 40, verse 3, where there is going to be a messenger to prepare the way of the Lord. He will come suddenly to his temple. Verse number 2, but who may abide the day of his coming? There seems to be a twofold application. Who shall stand when he appeareth? For he is like a refiner's fire and like fuller's soap. And he shall sit as a refiner and purifier of silver, and he shall purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness. Then shall the offering of Judah and Jerusalem be pleasant unto the Lord, as in the days of old, as in the former years. Now, what did you just read? Jesus Christ came. How many of you guys agree? John the Baptist fulfilled the role of Isaiah in spirit. That's what the Lord said. This was Elias for to come, if you took heed. The Lord came the first time. But now notice, the day of his coming. This is not a reference to his first advent. This is a reference to his second advent. That is the second coming. And what is the Lord going to be doing? He is going to be refining. He is going to be purifying the children of Israel, that they may offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness. So now imagine with me, church, 7 years of tribulation. That's the last week of Daniel's prophecy. The temple will be rebuilt. Obviously, they're going to need that. The Lord's going to permit that. The nations are going to permit it, the Antichrist, etc. In the middle of that 7 year, in the midst, the Antichrist is going to break that treaty to say, Jews, no problem, keep on sacrificing, do your thing. All right, no more. I'm God. He's going to go into that temple. Remember, we know the story. He's going to set himself up as God. You know what the Lord said? Up until that moment, they're not offering anything acceptable to him. He is going to have to refine them so they could offer something in righteousness like they used to. So until he does this work, they're just doing it religiously. It's not profiting them. You guys understand what we're saying here? That's pretty hardcore. Because they're thinking, oh, we came back from, you know, wherever they've been scattered. We have our temple, our God, receive these things. But they still need to take care of the sin in their heart for their failure to trust Jesus. Not gonna be profitable. So then, what is he likened to? Like a purifier of metals. You see here in silver, in verse 3, he shall purify the sons of Levi, purge them as gold. These are figures of speech. Remember that simile? So just like metals are purified, for those of you guys who have ever seen a YouTube video, just kind of type that in about iron or silver or whatever, you're going to see that when they put that thing in a furnace or in a, what do they call that, a crucible, all the little impurities of the minerals, all those like little particles, they kind of come to the surface, and that's how they cleanse it. Nation of Israel, good element, impurities. The Lord's going to refine them until all those impurities are out. When is the best time to get saved? Right now. Why? Jesus Christ bore all my iniquities, all my impurities on the cross. If I trust in him by faith, I'll be saved. Nation of Israel, we don't believe you're God. Up until this day, we don't believe. One day, friend, where'd you get those wounds? And they're going to, man, I'm telling you, man, God is a gracious God. He will preserve his people, but boy, is he going to judge them through all this time. Okay, a couple of verses more before we close. Let's go to Ezekiel chapter 22. We are building up a lot of Old Testament Bible knowledge to confirm the New Testament revelation that God is not done with Israel, but he will judge them. He is going to have to do a lot of refining, a lot of cleansing, a lot of cleaning, if you will. Ezekiel chapter 22, we're going to read here verse 19 through 22. Bible says in verse number 19, "Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, because ye are all become dross." Remember how we talked about the impurities, like in the metals? "Behold, therefore, I will gather you into the midst of Jerusalem." Remember how he talked about gathering? So not only is he going to gather them from everywhere, he scattered them. We talked about that last Sunday from Ezekiel, where he is going to gather them back into the land by his fury and his anger. It's not going to be nice, all these Jews going back there. But now he's going to gather them in the midst of Jerusalem. "As they gather silver and brass and iron and lead and tin into the midst of the furnace," just like I explained to you, literally just the Bible right there, "to blow the fire upon it, to melt it, so will I gather you in my" what? "Anger and in my fury, and I will leave you there and melt you. Yea, I will gather you and blow upon you in the fire of my wrath, and ye shall be melted in the midst thereof, as silver is melted in the midst of the furnace, so shall ye be melted in the midst thereof, and ye shall know that I, the Lord, have poured out my fury upon you." Whew, that's pretty hardcore. That's pretty hot. I don't even want to touch that part. But here's what he's saying there. He is going to gather all these Jews from where he scattered them for the purpose of what? Refining them, because they become like dross. There's so much impurity of idolatry in his people. There's so much impurity of sin, spiritual adultery. You know how you read that all throughout the Old Testament. The Jews, this is what they've done. They rejected the word. They rejected the law. They gather near him, but their hearts are far, right? They offer a sacrifice without faith, etc. And just like a metal artificer, somebody who works with metal, gathers all those elements and burns it and gets rid of the iniquities, the Lord said he's going to gather these Jews. He's going to gather them back in their land. And boy, are they going to be melted. And he is going to blow upon them the fire of his wrath, as silver is melted, and so on and so forth. And they're going to know that his fury is upon them. So why is that important, Christian? Let me do a little side nugget preaching. There are churches today that are Christians. Again, I love them, but I disagree. These are our charismatic, Pentecostal, name it, claim it, prosperity folks. You're going to see these posts on your Facebook about people like Jonathan Kahn and all these fools out there. God and the trumpets and the dreams and the moon star visions, Jesus and the land of Israel. And you're going to see, oh, look, Jews are gathering back in flocks. Look at all these Jews going back all nicely and orderly. Let me read that again. "In my anger, in my fury will I gather you." That's not nice. That's a hardcore gathering, okay? That is most likely going to be against their will, in which they're going to be gathered. That's just my take. All I can say from Scripture is that it's going to be God's anger behind that. And by the way, this is during the time of tribulation. So what we're saying is, when they teach these brothers that, oh, look at all these prophetical fulfillments, look at this, Uncle Trump, like King Cyrus, and all these silly things that they try to do, just, again, a false dream interpretation like we learned at our Sunday school, you need to Bible thump them from learning from a brother like we teach and say, brother, did you guys consider that God's anger is going to be the cause of gathering the Jews back in their land? Did you guys remember what he said in Ezekiel, that he is going to purify them because they have so much sin that he needs to take care of? See, they don't want to talk about that. They don't want to talk about the judgment. And how many of you guys have heard in those churches, Holy Ghost fire? Anybody remember that? They baptize you in the name of Jesus and fire, 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 all spiritual. Yeah, I don't want that fire. I don't know about you, but that fire from God is not going to be cool, and it's not going to be pleasant. I don't care how much they think about praying over me in tongues. The fire, 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 fire. Look, man, if God's fire is going to blow on his people to cleanse them because of their sin, I don't want that fire. This is that biblical fire from the Gospel of Luke. When the Lord talked about that, He has his, what does it say, the winnowing thing in his hand or something along those lines? He will baptize them with the Holy Ghost and with fire. How many of you guys read that in your New Testament? There you have it. There's scripture with scripture. So now you can Bible thump them, brothers. We love them. But boy, do they got some wrongly divided doctrine. So let's come to some concluding thoughts. What do we realize? Number one, God is merciful. He's not going to completely wipe them out, but he will judge them in measure. Number two, two-thirds are going to be cut off and die. Those two-thirds represent the ungodly Jew, the unfaithful Jew, the Jew who's been an idolater, the Jew who was not sincerely a Jew in heart. And number three, he's going to gather them back in the land, but in fury. That Antichrist now, the more you recognize about God and the Bible, he's a little vessel blip, if you will. He's just a little tool in God's handbag. He has not much power given him by God. You understand? This is God, man. He's the one that's going to do this. I could care less about Antichrist and Satan and all these little secret society things that all of our Christians kind of get sidetracked about. We're talking about God. This is what he said he's going to do. I'm going to fear God, amen. I'd rather trust him than, oh, what is the Antichrist and all this? You better remind yourself who's bringing him, amen. That's who I'd fear. All right, three closing verses, and we'll close. Let's go to Romans chapter number 2. Romans chapter 2, and then, oh no, let's quickly go to, since we're still in the Old Testament, I know some of you guys are still there. Quickly, 1 Samuel 16, I apologize. 1 Samuel 16, I do my best to try to go left to right for those of you. But let's quickly look at this. 1 Samuel 16, and then we'll go to Romans 2. Our concluding thoughts is this. Sunday school, what did we learn about today, church, for those of you who are here? There was a fellow by the name of Abraham who was revealed by God through his angels and so on that he is going to judge the land of Sodom and Gomorrah. You guys remember that story back in Genesis 18? And as those angels are sent by God to go out there and do their observations of the land and so on, the Lord has a conversation with Abraham. They walk in the plans of Mamre, and they're looking to Sodom and Gomorrah. And here you have Abraham. Remember, he is the father of faith. Remember that? He is the father of the people of Israel. He's talking to God. And what does he ask God? God, are you going to judge all the people? What if you find 50 righteous? What if you find 40, 30, 20? Remember that story? What did the Lord say? If I find, I'm just paraphrasing it, I will spare. If I find 50, 40, 30, I will spare. You know what Abraham acknowledged about God? He is the judge of all the earth. Remember that? I know you'll do right. I know you're not going to judge the wicked and the righteous the same. So now, consider that when he looks at the heart of man. Look at 1 Samuel 16, verse 7. The Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth, for man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. So what happens? A lot of us, we look on the outside. Oh man, the way they're dressed, the way they act, their hairstyle, the skin color, melanin shade on their skin tone, as if that's going to make you godly or holy evil. Mm-mm. You know what the Lord says? He knows the real you. He looks to your heart. All that judgment for the nation of Israel, he knows the hearts. He knows who's sincere and he knows who's not. That's why he's going to do that refining. That's why he's going to bring them through fire. Same thing today. We go out there on Saturdays and we're there to tell the world, Jesus loves you. He died for you on that cross. Repent and be saved because God has appointed a day of judgment. He's going to judge you. Please get saved. He knows the hearts. We don't. So now consider that when we go to Romans 2. When you read verses like this now, church, it makes it easier to understand and compare. Romans chapter 2, and we're going to read verse 28 through 29, and then our last verse before we close will be in Romans 9. Romans chapter 2, verse number 28. Here's what the Apostle Paul said here by the Holy Spirit. For he is not a Jew, which is one outwardly. You guys remember what we just read there? 1 Samuel 16? He looketh not on the outward, but on the inward. He is not a Jew which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision, which is outward in the flesh. But he is a Jew which is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit, and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God. Two-thirds of his people taken out. By who? Their God. Why? Because they're not sincere. Inwardly, they were wicked. They didn't believe. They were disobedient. A third of the Hebrews will be remaining alive. Why? Because they were sincere. They were inwardly faithful Jews who believed in their God. And ultimately, during the witness and testimony of, you're going to learn about that later in Revelation, 144,000 Jews, virgin males, are going to be preaching. Two witnesses preaching, the angels preaching. Some of these Jews are going to respond and say, we better trust God, and we better trust him with all our heart, and we better trust Jesus. He was the Messiah, Yeshua, however you want to say it. And last chapter before we close, Romans chapter 9. Let's go there. Romans 9. It makes more sense now that God can identify those sincere, God-fearing Jews from the unbelieving and the unfaithful. Look at Romans 9, verse 6. The Bible says, not as though the word of God hath taken none effect, for they are not all Israel which are of Israel, neither because they are the seed of Abraham are they all children, but in Isaac shall thy seed be called. So again, just because somebody was born a Jew of the flesh, they're not truly a Jew in God's sight if they don't follow Abraham's example, which was what? It was laid out for you back in chapter 4. Abraham believed God by faith. He believed God's word by faith. So that tells you these sincere Jews, they're going to follow Abraham's steps. They are going to believe in God's word by faith. And these Jews that didn't, they're going to be taken out. And that's all dealing with the tribulation time frame. That's all dealing prior to the Lord's second coming, the judgment of Israel, because he's not done with them. But he's going to have to cleanse them because they still have iniquity. They still have sin, according to Romans 11, our base text where we're going through. And that's going to be taken care of. But one day, praise the Lord, he will come, the deliverer. Praise the Lord. He's going to make a covenant unto them, those that make it through, when he'll take away their sins. How about that? And just like that covenant that Jesus is going to make with them at his second coming, what did Isaiah tell us earlier? Everlasting kindness. How about that? Now that's good. But boy, before you get that, wrath, refiner's fire, fuller's soap, purifying the dross, etc., etc. But his grace, but his kindness. So when's the best time for anybody to get saved, regardless of their Jews or Gentiles? Right now. Trust Jesus, amen. You can avoid all that. But then after you become a Christian, you got to study your Bible, you got to get under a preacher, get into some good discipleship so you can start learning Bible doctrine. Amen? Let's go ahead and close. Father, we thank you for this time of allowing us to gather once again in the name of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for the Holy Spirit. We thank you for the Bible that we can actually read and learn anytime. Your word. We can learn right now who you are, what you think, how you view the world, and most of all, how you're going to deal with people, especially concerning your people, Israel. So Lord, just like the psalmist says, Lord, we want to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. But just like Paul, we want to pray for their salvation, Lord. We pray for every Hebrew now, Lord. We pray that they do get saved, Lord. And we know that you know what you're doing. We know that you're the one that's going to gather them. You're the one that scattered them. And Lord, we just pray that all these things will come to pass in your time, Lord. The promises you've made to the fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But Lord, we surely are glad that we've been made a part of this body of Christ. Lord, we thank you, but we do pray for them, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, church, the Lord bless you. Thank you for tuning in online. For those of you who are watching online, we hope and pray that you have a blessed rest of your evening. And we may look forward to our...